Hear me all right? All right, let me try to get this thing in my pocket without it falling off my face. Okay. All right, if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Mark, chapter number 2. Thank you, Pastor First, for allowing me to preach. I really appreciate it. Okay, I'm so tall that when I reach up, this thing is coming out of my pocket, so let me make sure I'm all the way adjusted. All right. It'd probably be easier to put it in my suit coat, honestly. Okay, all right. That makes things a little bit easier. But anyway, like Pastor First said, I am from Texas, a city called Tyler. It's about an hour east of Dallas. And so if you've ever been down there, you know that it's hot. When I say hot, it's really hot, really, really, really hot down there, actually. And so being up here, it's a little bit cooler, and it's this is a beautiful region. I've heard from everybody, once you get past the Black Hills, there's nothing. But I've only been in the Black Hills, so far South Dakota is beautiful to me. And so I've really enjoyed my time here. I got here Thursday around 6-ish, 6:30-ish, and I've just had a great time spending the last couple of days with Pastor First and his family, and it's been a blessing to get to meet some of you. I've been staying with the Mathesons, and those just a precious couple, and something that I've been in a lot of different churches across the country, and probably my favorite thing about this one is that I've noticed that the members of this church, you guys have a genuine love for Christ. And to be honest with you, you don't see that across the country sometimes. Sometimes you walk into a church and there are a lot of people, and really it's dead. It's a dead church, and the love for Christ isn't as evident as it is in this one. And so as a young preacher who's going into his sophomore year this fall, I want to tell you guys, I appreciate your fervor, I appreciate your hard work, and I appreciate your love for Christ. And that means a whole lot to me that I get to look up to people who have such a genuine love for Christ. And so share a little bit of where I'm at now. I do go to college in Lexington, Kentucky. It's a Commonwealth, Pastor Jeff Fugit, and there's probably about 250 odd students there. And when I say odd, it's because all of us are odd. Anyway, I have 3 more years left. I'm studying pastoral theology, hoping to graduate and become an assistant pastor, youth pastor at wherever God leads me. And so I'm excited for the future, excited to see what God has in store, and very excited to preach tonight. And so if you are there in Mark chapter number 2, we're going to go ahead and begin reading in verse number 1. Mark 2, verse number 1, all right? I still hear some pages turning. I'll give you guys a few seconds. All right, we all there? If we're all there, can everybody say amen on 3? 1, 2, 3? Amen. All right, let's go ahead and begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says in Mark 2, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy. And then in verse number 11, this is really where we get the crux of the message. He tells the man who's sick of the palsy this. He says, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And so I like to give titles to my sermons because I like you guys to be thinking about what in the world are we talking about tonight. And so the title of the sermon tonight is this: Never Forget Where You Came From. Never forget where you came from. So we're going to pray and we're going to get right into the message, and I'll explain where we're going here in just a second. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you in prayer tonight, Lord, so thankful and so grateful for the great opportunity, Lord, to preach your word and, Lord, to stand behind this pulpit. Lord, there's been some great men of God, Lord, who have preached behind this pulpit, and you know of all people that I don't deserve to be here, but thank you so much for the opportunity. And Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to speak, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross as I preach the message, Lord, that you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, I pray that you would help each and every person in here, Lord, no matter who they are, how old they are. Lord, whenever the Bible's open, there's not one person who can't walk out of here and go, I've gotten something from God's word tonight. And I pray that that be the case, as they can walk out of here changed, Lord. Not only them, but me as well, Lord. I am preaching to myself throughout this whole message. And so I just pray for your blessings. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move through this place like you've never moved through here before. And Lord, we love you, thank you, and praise you for all the great things you've done, all the great things that you're doing, and all the great things that you'll continue to do. And it's in Christ's name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. And so as I was reading this chapter, really, now understand what I mean when I say this. This chapter is kind of bizarre. And what I mean by that is, let's really break down what's happening in this story. The Bible says that Jesus is going into the city of Capernaum. And when he does, the Bible says in verse number 1, it says that it was noised that he was in the house. In other words, when Jesus went into Capernaum, word got around really fast that Jesus was there. In other words, Jesus was a pretty popular guy. I mean, it doesn't take a smart theologian to understand that. You can read one chapter in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, and find out that Jesus was a pretty popular fella. And so when he goes into Capernaum, everybody flocks towards him. And the Bible says that when he goes into this house, so many people start to come in that there's a man who's paralyzed, who's sick of the palsy, who can't walk, who needs to be healed, but there's no room for him to go in. And so the Bible says that they had to take the cover off of the roof. Now, I don't know what that cover is. It could have been a piece of tarp. To be honest with you, I have no clue. It could have been anything, but the Bible says they took that cover off the roof and they lowered that paralyzed man into the house from the roof. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty bizarre to me, because I guess with my 19-year-old underdeveloped brain, I would think, why didn't they just tell everybody to get out the house and then bring them in, right? But the Bible says that they went as far as just taking the cover off the roof and lowering the man into the house. The Bible says that when he got lowered into the house, that when Jesus was going to go heal him, it says, Jesus told him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And there are scribes and Pharisees sitting around going, who in the world is this guy to tell him that his sins can be forgiven? Only God can do that. And so Jesus goes off and pretty much tells off the scribes and Pharisees and go, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. Shut up and let me do what I do. And so Jesus did what he did. And the Bible says that he healed the man who was sick of the palsy. In verse number 11, this is where we get the message from. He says that he says unto the man, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thine house. For some odd reason, when I was reading this verse, that verse didn't make sense to me. Let me explain why. The verse would have made sense if it said, I say unto thee, arise, and go thy way into thine house. But listen, pay attention to verse number 11. The Bible goes as far as saying that he told the man, it was an obvious command, he told the man to take up his bed. So when I'm reading this verse, I'm going, well, why in the world would Jesus tell this man to take his bed with him? It really doesn't make any sense. Now, I don't know what the NIV version says, or what the ESV version, or the ABC version, or the 1-2-3 version, or all these different Bible versions say in Mark 2:11. But I do know that the King James version says that he told the man, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way. Well, as I started thinking about it, the only possible solution that I could come up with, and as I prayed, I believe the Lord gave me this for a reason, and this is what I believe. I could be completely wrong, but this is the application that I got from verse number 11 in chapter number 2. The reason why Jesus told the man who was sick of the palsy to take his bed with him after he was healed is so that paralyzed man would never forget where he was when he was sick of the palsy. So when he was healed, he carried that bed around. You know what that bed signified? Where Jesus brought him from. You see, this man couldn't walk, and he was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. He was handicapped. And this man could walk. He had two good legs. And as he's walking through his city, he's carrying that bed wherever he's going. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who's looking at him weird and going, why in the world is he carrying that nasty bed that he laid on for so long? And I'm sure every time somebody asked him, he probably got a little choked up about it. Say, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And he went through and he told the story of how year after year after year, How he was sick of the palsy and he couldn't walk and he was paralyzed. How one day there was a man named Jesus who, after he was lowered into the roof, he said, "Hey, arise," and he could walk. You see, I wasn't sick of the palsy, and I've never been paralyzed and never had some kind of just terrible disease like that. But I can tell you there was a day in my life where Jesus said, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way." You know, since that day, I've been walking around with this bed. And this bed that I'm walking around in this life right now, when people ask, "Man, you know, why do you dress so weird? You know, like, why are you always wearing a suit and tie?" Or when they ask the ladies from our church, or I'm sure, you know, people may say something about you know, the ladies who wear skirts in this town. "Man, you know, why do you guys wear those skirts?" So go, "Well, let me tell you what Jesus did one day. See, there was one day I was sick of the palsy, and there was one day where I was paralyzed, but this is what Jesus did for me. Can I share this with you?" See, I never want to get to the point in life where I forgot where I came from. I'm going to share my testimony with you guys for a second. When I was 3 years old, there was a bus route in Tyler, Texas that picked me and my brother, or my brother and I, sorry, I failed grammar in high school. No, I'm joking. No, I didn't. But picked up my brother and I to ride the church bus. And we rode the church bus from the age of 3 all the way up until I was 14 or 15 years old. And went to youth camp in the summer of 2013. I want to say it was the summer of 2013, and that's when my brother got saved. My brother accepted Christ as a Savior, and when we went back from camp, my brother just got on fire for God. And when I say on fire for God, I'm talking about he was going to church Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Thursday night, soul winning, and every youth activity we could possibly be at, and he'd volunteer to help clean the church. And because he was my older brother, he's a year and 3 months older than I am. Everything that he wanted to do, I wanted to do. If he wanted to go to church on Wednesday night and Sunday nights, I wanted to go to church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And I wanted to help clean the church, and I wanted to go to the youth activity. And so we started going to church as faithful as possible. Every time the doors were open, we were in church, and we were hungry for it. Well, I still wasn't saved. I still hadn't accepted Christ as my Savior. But that next summer we went to camp. It wasn't even that summertime. That's when I surrendered to preach. During that school year, man, this is going to make me sound terrible, but this is how I got saved right here. I had gotten in trouble in school for saying bad words, dead serious. And my Spanish teacher called my mom and told her. And so my mom goes, "You know what? He'll get a spanking when he gets home." And yes, I was still getting spankings at 13. It still works for the most part. And so he said, "But you know what? I have a better fix for him. Why don't you call his youth pastor?" Now, you guys got to understand, I admire my youth pastor. I love him to death. He invested so much in me. I never wanted to disappoint him at all. And so when I found out that my Spanish teacher was going to call my youth pastor, my heart was broken. And my Spanish teacher called my youth pastor and told him everything that was going on. And I was just dreading going to church that Sunday. I knew I was going to be there because you ought to be in church on Sunday. But you know, maybe I could, you know, call in sick. I don't know if you can do that on Sundays, but I was thinking, you know, like maybe I can like put my face in front of the heater and tell my mom I have a fever. I don't know, but I'm going to figure out something where I don't have to go to church on Sunday. Well, I tried that. I put my face in front of the heater and told my mom I had a fever, and she was like, "You're going to church anyway." So we went to church, and my youth pastor went throughout the whole entire Sunday school lesson. At the very end, he says, "Hey, Trey, come by my office after the Sunday school lesson." And I knew what it was. And so I go by his office and he tells me, "Hey, your Spanish teacher called me and told me that you were cursing in class. Is that true?" And it was silence. Like you could hear a pin drop. Like that kind of quiet. Like crickets. It was dead silent. And eventually after about 30 seconds, he asked me about 3 more times and I said, "Yeah, I did." You got to understand, I've sat through so many junior church services, it's insane. And I've heard the gospel given a million times. I can tell you, even at 13 years old, I could tell you the Romans Road, and I could probably say it backwards. I'd heard it so many times, I knew what I had to do to get saved. But there was a lot of times when I was a kid where the teacher would go, hey, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you know, raise your hand. And, you know, I'd peek open my eyes and I'd look around and, oh, man, this thing's coming off. And I'd look around and I'd see all my friends raise their hand. So I raised my hand, too. And I went to the back and prayed the prayer is what I did. When I was 13, there was no shortcuts anymore. This was the real deal. Now my youth pastor asked me, hey, Trey, are you even saved? And I said, are you kidding? I've been coming here since I was 3 years old. Of course I'm saved. And he said, no, Trey, are you really saved? And I start to think about it, and I go, you know, Brother Jordan, to be honest with you, I don't know if I am. He said, well, you know what to do. And so guess what? I knelt there, and I accepted Christ as my Savior right there in the church office. It was great. Well, that summer, right, youth conference, actually the same conference that I met Pastor First and his family about 2 years before that, Brother Terry Angel preached at that youth conference, and I surrendered to preach and went back home and had a strong desire to go to our Christian school. Like, I really, really wanted to go to Christian school. I was tired of public school. The only thing drawing me to public school was that I love sports. When I say I'm the biggest sports fanatic ever, I just love sports. I played football. I played basketball. I did track. I did everything I could. And basketball has always just been, like, my favorite thing in the world to do. And that was the only thing drawing me back to public school. But there was something a little bit different about going to the Christian school, and I wanted it so bad. So I went back home and I talked to my youth pastor. I said, listen, is there any way I can, you know, maybe pay my own way through Christian school? He said, well, you know, Trey, it's pretty expensive for a 14-year-old to do. I said, yeah, but I'll find a way. And so my mom knew the owner of a pizza shop in town. And so I got a job working at a pizza buffet called CeCe's. And I worked there when I was 14, which is against the labor laws in Texas. But the owner knew me and he knew my family, so he let me work. He gave me 40 hours a week, and I was able to work my way through Christian school, 9th through 12th grade, and made a decision between my junior and senior year of high school that I wanted to go into full-time service. I wanted to serve God with my life, and I wanted to do it full-time. I want to go use my life no matter I don't want to do anything but serve God. So I figured I want to go to Bible college. And so I started praying about Bible college and decided that I was going to go to Commonwealth there in Lexington and move there last August. And I've been there for a year. And I said all that to say, when Jesus said to take your bed up and walk, I had to take my bed with me. Because there's been a lot of other bus kids back home. And I'm talking about there's been a ton of bus kids who say, Brother Trey, Brother Nick, that's my brother's name. Brother Trey, Brother Nick, we want to be just like you when we grow up. I said, well, hey, guess what? You got to arise and take your bed and go thy way. Pay attention. Why don't you look at verse number, let's see here, verse number 12. The very next verse after verse number 11. The Bible says in verse number 12, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch, listen to this, that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Well, you know what that verse is saying? That when that man, sick of the palsy, took up his bed and went back into his own city, that everybody around him looked at him and go, hold on a second, you're saying God can do that? You're saying God can do something like that? And everybody, the Bible says they were amazed and that they glorified God. Hey, listen, the Bible doesn't say that all those people who glorified God were saved people. It just says they glorified God. Listen, that could have been unsaved people. That could have been the person that somebody was trying to reach for months on months on months. That when that man sick of the palsy came back and that man finally saw what God could do, his heart may have been changed after he saw the bed that the man was carrying. Whether we like it or not, we all have a bed. We all have a bed in our life. Once you got saved, Jesus told you, arise, take up your bed, go thy way. So guess what? We all have a bed. We all have a bed. Someone's looking at your bed. We may not like that. You may not like somebody to be looking up to you and paying attention to you. You may think, I'm not worthy of that. Well, guess what? We're Christians. You're saved. That's just how it works. There's people out there in the world who are looking at your bed right now. Man, it could be at your job, and it could be at the store, and it could be at the bank, and it could be at Alpine Inn. It could be anywhere. Listen to me. Somebody's looking at your bed. What does it say? Does it say that you've given your life to Christ? Does it say that you love Christ with all your being. The Bible says loving him with all that you have, all your soul, all your mind, all your heart. Is that what your bed is saying tonight? Is that what it's saying? Check this out. Now, I'm not going to show you. Don't get me wrong. I have a bruise on my back. A bruise. And it's a pretty bad bruise. I guess it's not really a bruise as much as it is like a scar. It's like a... Anyway, let me tell you where I got it from. When I was 6 months old, now, please understand me, church, and I'm asking you this because I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I don't want you guys to think that I am trying to do this whole self-pity stuff, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm just sharing an experience with you because I believe it could help you tonight. When I was 6 months old, my mom, she was a crazy teenager. She had my brother and I by the time she was 16 years old. By the time she was 16, she had two boys. And my dad, he smoked marijuana, a lot of it, a lot of it. One time my mom went to work and left me there at the house with my dad, and my dad, after smoking a lot and getting high, he beat me with a belt at 6 months old. And my dad went to prison for 10 years. No, he was in prison for 11 years. Yeah, so he went to prison for 11 years because of that. And I always wondered where that spot came from. See, my mom never told me this story. I mean, you know, go figure. You know, she didn't want to tell me that something so horrific had happened to me when I was only 6 months old. But about 2 years ago is when she told me where that scar finally came from. And what I began thinking, because at that time I was in church and I'd been saved and I was in the Christian school and I was serving God and I was a bus captain and I was working in junior church and working with the choir and leading songs and I was serving God with my life. You know what that scar told me? Man, look where God's brought you from. Look at the home that God brought you from. And a horrific situation. Look what you're doing now, though, Trey. You get to stand in church, and you get to preach, and you get to witness to people, and you get to go out soul winning, and you get to go and work on a bus route, and you get to do all these things for God, and look where he brought you from. You see, when I stood up here at the beginning and said, I'm not worthy, that's why I say I'm not worthy. You don't know where I come from. And see, listen to me. I don't know you. I've met a lot of you. And like I said at the beginning of when I first got up here, it is obvious that you guys love God, and that is so exciting for me to see, for me to only be here on a Sunday and to witness that you guys just love Christ, and I love that. And you guys have heard my testimony, and you guys have met me, but in all essence, you don't know me, and I don't know you. You don't know where God's brought me from, and I don't know where God's brought you from. You see, God could have saved you from a horrific past. God could have saved you from a broken marriage or a broken home or a situation where, maybe you were an alcoholic or you couldn't put down the pill bottle or maybe you had something going on that you never thought you could find freedom from, but God saved you from it. It may not be that extreme, but everybody has a story similar to you were bound for hell and when God saved you, you have a home in heaven. And it's really just that simple. The circumstances really don't matter. The bottom line is every one of us were bound to split hell wide open. And when we heard the gospel of Christ and we accepted him in our hearts, we now have an eternal home in heaven. And that's where the line is drawn, period. You see, it doesn't matter what he saved you from as far as circumstances are concerned. You know, like I said, I gave you my story. I told you what God has saved me from. But in all essence, that does not matter. But what it does, Joe, is that God can take a situation that seems unrepairable. Are you listening to me? A situation that seems absolutely unrepairable and turn it into an absolutely miraculous situation. I'm be honest. I am mind blown that I'm even preaching here tonight. It blows my mind that I am all the way in South Dakota preaching the Bible to a great church. Hey, listen to me. I don't deserve it. Hey, but God had a plan for me. And the same way that God has a plan for me, You may think, well, you know, Brother Trey, you don't understand. I'm getting up there in age, and, you know, I'm just going to come in, you know, go to church on Sunday morning, and then I may come Sunday night. I'm not sure. I may come Wednesday night. I'm not sure, but I'm content right now. Brother Trey, you don't understand. I'm content right now. We're well off. God's good. Hey, listen, God still has a plan for you. His plan is not past tense. Understand that tonight. He has a plan for each and every born-again believer. Doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or if you're 90 years old, God has a plan for you until you step foot on heaven's shore, period. He has a plan for you. Hey, let's find that plan. Let's find that plan. But the whole crux of the message tonight, don't forget what he saved you from. And I'm not, Pastor Fugit says this all the time. There are a lot of people, if I stand up here and preach this message, there may be some of you who leave and go, well, I guess I need to go ahead and dwell on what I used to be. No, that's not at all what I'm saying. Understand what I'm saying tonight. The Bible talks about in the book of Corinthians, taking off the old man and putting on a new man. I'm not saying to go back home and take off the new man and put back on the old man. No, understand what I'm saying. I'm saying understand what God has done in your life. That's what I'm saying tonight. 2 points, super simple and super quick. I promise you, I will be done in 7 minutes. If you can guys give me 7 minutes, I will be finished, all right? And yes, I cannot believe I just gave myself a timer, but yeah, Sam, let me know when my 7 minutes are up. All right, cool. Number one, remembering where God has brought us from renders continual praise to what God has done for you. Let me say that one more time. Remembering where God has brought you from renders continual praise to him. It's what I've been talking about the whole time. When I think about where God has brought me from, you know what I really want to do? Get on my knees and go, man, praise God. Praise God for what he's done. I want to get, I want to pick up a hymnal and start singing. I walk around and shout glory to God and shout amen and clap and go, woo! Why? Because it's letting me know, man, remember what God has done for you. It'll render continual praise to God when you remember where God has brought you from. And point number two, and I figure I'd spend a little bit more time on this because I have an illustration. I got 6 minutes. I'm paying attention here. Last one is, it will help you help others who dealt with the same problems that you once did. You guys understand what I'm saying? I'm going to say that one more time. If you remember where God has brought you from, it will help you help others deal with the same exact problems that you once dealt with. I said at the beginning, I love basketball. And there is a kid at our college, his name is Brian Delaney. And when I say he does not have one athletic bone in his body, he doesn't have one. Not one. I mean, it's insane. He is just not the athletic type. He doesn't play sports. He doesn't do football or basketball or anything. He's Brian. He's an interesting fella. But one day he came to me and asked me, he's like, hey, Trey, do you mind coming out to the court and showing me how to shoot a free throw? I said, I'm busy. I got a job. I got school. I don't know if I necessarily have time to go out and teach you how to shoot a free throw. I mean, like, we're right. This is actually 2 weeks before finals started. I mean, it was a crazy time of year. I'm like, Brian, I don't know if I can help you with that, man. And about a week or two went by, and he asked me again. And to be honest with you, and I'm being transparent now, I was kind of rude to him. I said, Brian, there's no hope. Yeah, that kind of rude. I was like, Brian, there's no hope, man. I was like, listen, man, like you can't shoot. I was like, man, like you've never even picked up basketball. How in the world do you expect me to go out and teach you how to shoot a free throw? I was like, I can't do it. And so he was my roommate, though, so I felt really, really bad because he was kind of somber for a couple of days. And so, but not being cliche or anything, God really started to speak to my heart about it. He said, you know, Trey, you do understand there was once somebody who taught you how to shoot a free throw. There's one somebody who taught you how to dribble a basketball and how to shoot a right-handed and a left-handed layup and how to do this and do this and do that and all kinds of stuff. There's one somebody who took the time out to help you. Why don't you go out and help Brian? And so I remember I went by one day. I was like, Brian, let's go. And he's like, what? You got to know Brian. That's exactly. He's like, what? I was like, Brian, let's go out and I'll teach you how to shoot a free throw. He's like, really? I was like, yeah, man, come on. So we go out there, and we're saying, I'm just like, now, Brian, and I'm teaching him how to put his arms and his hands on the balls. Like, all right, you know, put your hand on the side. And I was like, now make sure your elbow's straight. And I'm going through the whole spiel, and to make a very long story short, Brian just didn't catch on, all right? Brian did not catch on how to shoot a free throw. And I spent about an hour out there with him, just like, Brian. Every time he airballed one, I put my hand down. I'm just like, oh, no. And so after we got done, though, we went back to our room, and I remember he said to me, he's like, Trey, you know, I didn't make one of them. He's like, but I sure do appreciate you taking the time trying to help me. The reason why I told that story is because using this application to our Christian lives, there are a lot of people out there who are probably dealing with the same issues that you and I used to face when we were just starting out, or maybe before you got saved. They're dealing with these same problems that used to get us all the time. You know, when something happens that you, okay, like you've been trying to work on something, like trying to work on getting better at something, and then you mess up, and it's just like, come on. I've been trying so hard. I mean, it's kind of like a diet. I've been on a diet here recently. Yeah, I mean, it's insane. And every time I eat bad, it's just like, Trey, like you've got to be kidding me. Like you've got to stick to the diet. There are some people out there, they've been trying their best to overcome something, and you just may be the person who can help them overcome it. Never forget where you came from. Number one, it renders continual praise to the Almighty God. And number two, it may just help somebody else who's dealing with the same problem that you used to deal with. And so on that note, like I said, it was a short, relatively simple sermon. There was a man who was paralyzed, who Jesus said, arise, take up your bed and walk. The Bible says that when all those people saw that man walking with that bed, it says that they were amazed and they glorified God. Let that be the case in our lives. Let somebody look at our bed and go, man, that's awesome. I sure am glad that we serve a God that big who can take somebody from that and turn them into that. That's all I got for you tonight. So, Pastor, first, you can come on up.